the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. Here, I hit that post. I didn't even try.
You were trying.
You're lucky. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, having lived with a manic depressive, I've seen the craziness. Maybe it was a mental issue that turned Brittany to the drugs in the first place. Maybe not. Either way, last week seemed like a lot of cocaine-induced craziness. But we do thank her for the entertainment. Now, that's true. And so forth. All right. This is a great song.
Yeah, it's Jawbreaker. A good song.
Oh, you played some Jawbreaker a few weeks back, and some guy emailed me, and you're way hipper than I thought you were. No. No, I'm not, sir. All right. 503-733-2970. All right, here's what's on the agenda. So it's 2 o'clock. We got to make this call about jury duty. We're trying to get Sarah out of jury duty this hour. What else? Seamus wants this answer about people tracking you down on MySpace. We'll try to get to that. We may have to do it tomorrow. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, here is your personal savior, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Snow advisory remains in effect till 6 o'clock today for the Portland metro area. That includes the Coos. There's going to be a band of showers moving into the valley. It's weakening as it moves into dry air. This will limit snow accumulations on the valley floor. You can expect an inch or less. Then, just to be spiteful, the snow will come back tomorrow.
Speaking of expecting an inch or less... No, I'm not even going to do it. It was just seeing right there, if I was a kooky morning guy, I could have done the segue into the thing, but I'm not going to do it.
Well, he'll never be elected, but John Edwards is speaking in New York City.
A president will sometimes make mistakes. We've never had a president who didn't, and we will never have one in the future who doesn't. And I think what they want from us is they want you to tell the truth. They want you to tell the truth when you believe you've made a mistake, and they want you to be willing to change course if something's not working.
Well, I made a mistake.
His campaign isn't working.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He's long forgotten.
I made a mistake when I said long ago that that guy would be elected president someday. I wish to rescind that statement. Rick Emerson was wrong about that. That's never going to happen. So, yeah, America.
Things have changed.
America has forgotten who you are, sir. It's best just to pack it in, all right? Did you see that thing, speaking of big houses, did you see that thing that he owns the single largest residential home in America? It's insane.
He was an ambulance chasing lawyer, I believe, for the longest time.
Yeah, no, I forget how
There's
big it
money
is.
In that.
Yeah, no, he owns the single largest residential home in the continental United States, John, where it says. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, let's take a little break here and visit the tomb of Jesus, shall we?
Passengers on the left side of the Rick Emerson Show, if you look at it right now, you can visit the tomb of Jesus beneath us. And to the right, Grand Coulee Dam. Tiffany and Janice are going to be by later with his net there, and we'll be keeping it together.
Film director James Cameron has displayed artifacts in New York that he says come from the tomb of Jesus. He claims they've been attached by archaeologists and theologians, and says the claims are unfounded and undermines the Christian faith, a charge Cameron categorically denied.
What this find does, and what this film does, and what this investigation does, is it celebrates the real life existence of these people and this man.
So what he has here are two small caskets that are among several items discovered in 1980 in Jerusalem. They are the subject of a new documentary and book, The Lost Tomb of Jesus. It's going to be aired next week. James Cameron said there will be people who will question him.
I think there will certainly be those that will say that we're attempting to in some way undermine Christianity, and that's really, really very far from the case.
Like most of us, he's always believed in Jesus.
I've never doubted that there was a historical Jesus, that he walked the earth 2,000 years ago. But the simple fact is that there's never been a shred of physical, archaeological evidence to support that fact until right now.
Okay.
With all the bombings and things going on there,
seriously.
And things in a million pieces, how is it that he found something that belonged to Jesus?
I remember it was tagged. It had like one of those little airport
Please
tags.
Please do not disturb. Property of Jesus.
Found an old Wall Street Journal that had the address imprinted. This is one of those stories. Tim was saying that.
I was?
No, I'm backing up.
I said nothing about Jesus.
I don't want to enter that room, for, especially for us, in that little place where Jesus doesn't go.
No, here's the thing. During the break, Tim was saying that he had the flu, or you felt like you were getting sick.
Well, ever since I got that flu shot, I've been sick more than any other winter.
Me too. I will never get one again.
Never again. I don't care if CBS begs me.
Well, that's why I never get the flu.
And they were free.
And you said that you could tell you were kind of getting sick because you just your energy was just sapped.
I feel run down.
That's the thing.
Not that I don't care, mind you.
No.
What's going on? I just don't have my usual amount of energy.
Here's the thing.
I am interested. I just can't express it.
Here's the analogy. Is that when you mention this thing about James Cameron finding the tomb of Jesus.
Yes.
And there's so many jokes of James Cameron has found Jesus. You know, and then it's like the cat, you know, and then it's just like him pointing to a jar. That story just makes me tired. Like, just hearing you read this story about James Cameron holding a press conference saying he found literally...
What this find does... And
literally found the body of Jesus.
I think there will certainly be those that will say that we're attempting to in some way undermine Christianity. Yeah.
And the whole thing just makes me exhausted before I even open my mouth. First of all, I was talking to Laura about this, and I was like, don't you think this would be a bigger story? I mean, it seems like, first of all, I know, he's a filmmaker.
Maybe he needs a different publicist. He said, I found Jesus. What am I supposed to do with this one?
I know he's a filmmaker, but,
you know Britney Spears.
James Cameron, of course, known primarily as a film writer and director. But, he's known to have a very keen mind for science. He's nobody's idea of a fool. He is a very, very intelligent man in matters of the scientific realm. He's not crazy. He's a guy who knows a ton about science. So, you got to give it a little bit of weight. And he's only one of, like, many people on this team. He's just the one they quote because he's the most high profile. But he's a smart guy. So you can't just dismiss this out of hand.
And Jesus has been dead much longer than Anna Nicole Smith. And she's getting all the publicity.
And so, this whole story about him finding the remains of Jesus just makes my head hurt. Because don't you think it would be one of two things? Either no one would talk about this because it would just seem retarded. Or like everybody on Earth would be talking about this. But it's really neither of those. It's kind of in this middle ground where we're sort of mentioning it, but in the fourth hour of the program. Oh, and by the way, James Cameron says he found the body of Jesus. Like, and this isn't in some crazy National Enquirer paper. Like, this is in the New York Times. You would think that that would either be not a thing we discuss at all because it just seems absurd.
Well, it sounds like some Geraldo thing.
Or like it would be the biggest, like... Why isn't every news organization in the country leading a guy finds Jesus? I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all. The whole thing just kind of saps my will to live, even to think about it. So, anyway. It's like that, what's that gorilla, Coco, the one that talks in sign language? Isn't that the one I'm thinking of? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know nothing about gorillas.
Tim, do you know who I'm talking about?
I've heard talking about this gorilla before, but that's an awkward detail.
Is it the San Diego Zoo?
Just call it Coco.
Okay.
It talks in sign language.
It talks in sign language, and they referenced it in that Seinfeld episode where George got the nickname
Bobo,
of...
Oh, wasn't it?
It's Coco. Okay. Where George got the nickname of Coco because they were like, hey, you're like that gorilla that talks in sign language. So there's this gorilla at the San Diego Zoo. I was going on about this the other night. This gorilla at the San Diego Zoo that speaks in sign language. Don't you think that should be a huge story, that a goddamned gorilla is able to talk to us? I mean, that's just insane, don't you think? Why doesn't everybody talk about that? Why doesn't that cause people to just stand and just be struck dumb? I mean,
that causes too much thinking.
That's pretty goddamned insane when you think about it. Mm-hmm. That there's a gorilla in a cage somewhere that can, like, sit and just have a conversation with you in English. I mean, I know it's not English because it's sign language, but still using English words in sign language. Like, think if I just brought a goldfish in here that could talk. I mean, wouldn't you find that pretty insane? Wouldn't you call up everybody you knew and say, like, there's a goldfish here that can talk, right? Well, why isn't it big news that, why is it not big news that there's a gorilla that can talk? Sarah?
I'm sorry?
Let me ask you this, Sarah. If you went home and Muppet could just carry on a conversation with you, it does not the same.
I'm just kidding.
He responds to simple commands, but he can't form his own sentences and, independent.
If he was actually talking?
If Muppet could come up with his own thoughts and sentences independent, like, in other words, not responding, but like you walked in and he said, hey, how's it going, Sarah? How was your day at work? Wouldn't you be calling everybody on Earth and going, my goddamn dog is talking to me, right? You would. Why doesn't everybody just find it astounding that there's a gorilla in a cage somewhere that talks to people? Don't you think that's a little crazy that we
a gorilla doesn't leave the cage.
Well, of course you can't let it leave the cage. It's
Well, then it's the same thing like the Myna birds. Are you just fascinated by that? That
they don't form, but they're not forming. They're just mimicking
they're
sound.
They're in cages, too.
Yeah, they're
so
just mimicking.
Something isn't loose, threatening the population.
People in Tokyo.
People generally let them do their own thing.
Okay, but the Myna bird is just mimicking
let
sound.
Let the gorilla talk. Nobody
cares. I can mimic the sound of a dolphin. It doesn't mean I can speak to a dolphin. That's not the same thing. The gorilla is thinking. It's coming up with independent sentences by itself and then just speaking to people. Isn't that goddamned weird? Why doesn't anybody ever talk about this? What? I don't think I'm the one who's crazy here. I think that that's insane.
Yeah,
and
the guy that says he's not crazy that isn't.
Well, no, it requires so much thought.
It freaks me out.
All right. That's accepted.
You guys are. I'm fine.
No,
I'm going to go talk to the.
Yes.
It's not just a little weird.
Sure you could go to the zoo and talk to people there.
It's freaking crazy. If any other creature did that, you'd be terrified of it. You know, like, I went home and my dog was speaking to me. You say your dog is speaking to you, they put you in a small room and they stare at you through a window for 40 years. You know? Because that's really insane.
If a dog said something useful, like, I'm about to vomit my lunch on the new carpet before guests arrive in 5 minutes, yes, it would. But a dog wouldn't learn to say something useful.
Anyway.
And it would freak me out if my dog could talk, because, you know, like, you change in front of your dog.
Because it's crazy, the idea that an animal could just talk to you in English.
The whole conversation is crazy.
Well, that's because it's really, but yet it's real.
It all started with Jesus' tomb.
I know. How did you get from Jesus' tomb to talking about gorillas that can speak?
Because both of these stories seem like they really ought to be a lot bigger than they really are.
But instead, we keep talking about Britney Spears.
Instead, I'm just saying no one seems to be pointing out that there's a gorilla somewhere that can speak English.
People would rather visualize the decomposing corpse of Anna Nicole Smith than think about a talking gorilla.
Well, we have to visualize it. We can't see it.
People know what a gorilla looks like. Whether it talks or not, it's immaterial.
The thing about Jesus is, and that's the other thing, is nobody's talking about it. There's a guy held a press conference and said, look, here's Jesus. Like, picks up a jar. Jesus. You know, that's pretty freaking weird, don't you think?
I suppose so, but if we carry these caskets onto American Idol, it would be a different story.
I suppose. George, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
What's up?
Hey, what if the gorilla was trying to sign, I am Jesus, I'm here to save the world, nobody got it?
Like, what if there was a mix-up and Jesus came back to Earth, but he got stuck inside the body of a spider monkey?
Exactly.
That would be frustrating, wouldn't it? Why does that gorilla keep flailing its arms around? I don't know. He does it every Sunday. I don't know. We can't figure it out.
Thanks, man.
All right, thank you. That call was only moderately amusing, but I made it funny. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Well, it seemed like Coco the talking gorilla.
Yeah.
Didn't Coco have a cat named Snowball, and then Snowball died, and then Coco was very, yes, very upset.
And they got him a new cat. It's true.
Yeah, that was just awful. Okay, so yeah, there's your conversation about that. Yeah. I was gonna say.
Yes.
I don't know if this is right or not, but.
Okay. Hold on. Here's the thing. We're going to take advantage of our new thinking music. I'm going to give you a few seconds to think about whether you want to make this comment. So don't go anywhere. I'm going to play some thinking music.
All right.
And then we'll ask you if you still want to make this comment that you yourself are having second thoughts about. Hold on. Do you still want to make the comment?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. So they say they found the body of Jesus, but Christ just died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Yes.
So, theoretically, if he's risen, is there a body, or how does that work? Because I don't know.
Well, yeah, there was because the Ascension, the Feast of the Ascension, honors the day when Jesus Christ allegedly ascended into heaven.
Sure. So, if they found the body, but then he's ascended, then isn't that, against the...
Well, I don't know, maybe he...
How does that work?
I don't know, maybe he molted, like a chameleon or a Gila monster.
Is that really?
Well, I don't know, I wasn't there. I don't know whether Jesus has molting ability. I would imagine he could, you know... Maybe there was a duplicate Jesus to throw the authorities off.
Like an evil twin?
Yeah, like a body double.
Yeah, body double.
Call Central Canada.
Like for Saddam. Or then that episode of the Brady Bunch.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Right.
Thank you.
All I know is Alanis Morissette made a great god.
She did. Alanis Morissette made a great and a sexy god.
Thanks.
All right, there you go. Sarah?
Is this not a question about monkeys?
No. No, it's not. If Jake Gyllenhaal turned out to actually be the second coming of Jesus, would you still have sex with him?
Mm-hmm. I mean, no. Wait, is that wrong?
I don't know, Sarah.
Of course I would.
Hmm.
It's Jake Gyllenhaal. 90% of the human population would have sex with him.
But he's not Jake Gyllenhaal. He's Jesus. If you found out that Jake Gyllenhaal was really Jesus...
I don't know. You sound like you're high or something.
Would you? I'm not. I'm just saying. Would you do it? He says, look, I'm not. Everybody thinks I'm Jake Gyllenhaal. I'm really Jesus. Don't tell. But... And would you still try to have sex with him?
I think he was crazy, and I'd have sex with him anyway.
Yeah, because he'd be hot. Ted, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. All right. 503-733-2970.
If you'd like to reach this key demographic.
Attention, advertisers.
All right, so you're going to call the people from here or what?
Yes. Yes, yes.
It's getting late.
I'm going to call you. I tried to call him last hour, and you wouldn't let me.
Why don't you call him now?
Okay, here's what we're going to do. I got to call the jury people. Dennis is going to come in. Talk about the...
About what?
About any number of things. Dennis is going to come in, and he'll talk to his first skosh. We'll call and try to get you out of jury duty. And then we can either do this discussion about MySpace, or we can talk about to Scotty. So you should think about which we should do. Sarah.
Okay.
All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. We'll be back.
Oh, we're not calling right now?
Let me see.
Okay.
Well, I was going to call over the break, but no, let me see. Let me dial the number right now, actually. Let's see.
Well, do you want to do it on the air or do you want to do it during the break?
No, I'll do it on the air. I'll do it right now. I'm just going to do it on my cell phone, so that way we can turn off the mic and they don't hear any of your private information if they ask for it. I'm just going to call. I'm going to say your employer.
May we speak to the scowling lady in charge of jurors?
Can I speak to the humorless 50-year-old virgin who, let's see.
The cat lady.
Jury room coordinator. That's her.
Oh, God.
9-8-5-7.
We'll probably get her voicemail.
Seriously. Well, she's
an
employee.
This is the office of the jury room coordinator.
All right, so be prepared to mute my mic if they ask me for any personal information.
That's okay. I'll go over the air anyway.
I'm going to hit yours too, Timothy, if you get somebody.
So that's my fault. I misdialed. I get the fax machine.
Well, if we can make this easy, just turn mine off.
Now, let's see here. 503-931. All right, we're calling to try to get Sarah Dillon out of jury duty. Even though she shirked her civic duty and failed to return the... It's not so much that she planned to fail. It is that she failed to plan.
Well, she has better things to do with her time.
This is so great. It greets you with, please continue to hold. That's a good sign. Not please hold. Greets you with, please continue to hold.
This is gripping. Are you playing the music? I knew you were... You love that bed way too much.
Oh, and there's no hold music when you call the county. Hey, in the meantime, let's talk to... All right, well, why don't you put... Okay, yeah, if you hold that out, Scotty, I'll take it. All right. In the meantime, while I'm holding, let's talk to Karen about Coco the Gorilla. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Hi, what's up?
I grew up in San Diego, and I remember when this whole thing came up originally.
Yeah, about Coco.
Right. And the first thing that she was able to sign was, let me out.
Oh, that's creepy. And then it was, I will kill you.
No.
More of my kind will come.
But, you know, I mean, how shameful is that, an animal can speak our language and we can't possibly speak hers, and the first thing she says is, set me free.
Yeah, the first thing is like, come on, hello, this sucks. Oh, come on. And more of those carrots, please.
Good.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, that's Karen. See, it's real. See, how creepy is that? Oh, wait, it's ringing.
Uh-oh.
Hi there. I have a question about being summoned for jury duty. Okay.
Okay, drop it. Yep.
Uh, And she was summoned for jury duty, and it really is incredibly impractical right now for our business to be able to, it really is a hardship for the business for her to serve on this jury duty. Mm-hmm. Write a letter on letterhead with her name and juror. Now, how would I know the juror number? Oh, it's on her form. Okay. So I would write a letter on letterhead, and then I would do what? And can I just drop that off? I can fax it. Okay. And she is theoretically supposed to be there tomorrow morning at 8, so can I fax that today? Well, she's. And it's not theoretical. So she is. Ah, I see. So she's supposed to be there. Fax it this afternoon. Explain that. Okay, and then and will they contact me to let me know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Okay, thank you so much.
He sounds right. So professional when he wants to.
He does. Okay, and do I fax that to the jury room fax? Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to tell?
8-8.
February 6-1.
Okay. All right. So with just with her name and her juror number and my explanation, get that faxed over today. Great. Thank you so much. You have a great day. All right.
Well, thank you. It's like a get out of jail free card.
All right.
I love you, Rick.
No, oh, I should have made you offer something in advance.
That was
just too easy.
Yeah, seriously. I should have, in advance, been like, what are you going to give me, baby? What are you going to do for Rick?
They're on the public payroll.
Here's what you're going to do for Rick. Do you want to know?
Oh, God, what?
You're going to write the letter.
I knew you were going to make me write the letter.
And I'll sign it. You're going to write it and fax it. I'll sign it. Bam!
Did you get a piece of company letterhead?
And some candy. All right, 503-733-2970. Back after this, Rick Emerson radio program. Email I'm going to read about Jesus. Rick, I'm an agnostic who believes that followers of the Bible, this is an emailer saying this, by the way, believes that followers of the Bible are slightly deluded, and the idea of the body of an actual Jesus has been found weirds me out. Seriously, it is weird. The kind of massive sea change for everyone on Earth, no matter what their belief system, that this would cause is too consuming for comfortable idle speculation. It's way scarier than everyone's pets having a conversation with them when they get home tonight. Anyway. Blah, 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 blah. So that's Dave. All right. 503-733-2970. What if they found Jesus and he had two heads?
Are you smoking the marijuana?
I'm not.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, tonight will bring more snow to Portland as temperatures drop, and you can expect a light dusting of snow again tomorrow morning. So not out of the woods yet. Snow could be sticking at the 500 to 1,000 foot level. Why, that's quite a spread, isn't it? Less than an inch is likely to fall at 500 feet, and more than an inch above 1,000 feet. Below 500 feet, there will only be rain. Well, that whole thing was pretty contradictory.
I don't understand. I was just going to stay out.
Pretty much on your own.
I was going to stay out of that story until it was resolved.
It's not about to be resolved. So, it's up to you.
Rick, let's talk less about gorilla talking and more about front spanking.
Well, Condoleezza Rice can't wait to have peace talks with her friends in Iraq. She says it will work out just fine.
I'm pleased that the government of Iraq is launching this new diplomatic initiative and that we will be able to support it and participate in it.
They consist of a few cubicles. Lawyers representing Howard K. Stern have filed their response to the stay issued by Florida's First District Court of Appeals and is keeping Anna Nicole Smith from being buried in the Bahamas. Attorney Joan Hoffman says Smith's mother, Bergie, is using the wrong law to back up her claims. And the more we read into the story, the more confusing it gets, and nobody cares at this point. That's it for now.
Okay, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. But you know that there are chimpanzees at a she wrote collage. I imagine she means college.
There chimpanzee
are,
college?
There are chimpanzee... Yes. It's like right next to the clown college. But the stench from that college is unbelievable. You're going to see a big building covered in poo. Now, you want to take a left.
You're making animal balloons, riding tricycles.
Let's see. There are chimpanzees at a college in Washington State. You can pay to go into a room where there's a glass wall between you and them, and you can talk to them via sign language.
Via satellite.
It's just crazy.
I want to start booking. What would you say?
I don't know. And I got a bunch of other people saying.
You
want
to book some sign language monkeys so that you can just get it out of your system?
That's the weirdest thing you have ever said in your whole life.
We keep them behind glass because that studio's never used.
Put them in the front room. Put them in one of the. Remember one of the live DJ booths.
Those will be empty. We have track lighting they can swing from in here.
So tempting. I don't know sign language. Sarah, do you?
I know the alphabet a little.
Why is it that girls, a lot of girls know sign language? Is that so you guys...
We learn it with our cooking class.
Well, they're monkey trainers, usually.
All girls, all females are monkey trainers.
Right. They know how to train the monkeys.
One at a time. Just gonna...
Remember Joan Embry?
Yes, I've been to San Diego Zoo.
She was a monkey trainer way back when.
What are the pioneers of monkey
training? Females, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. But they have more patience than guys do.
Do you remember that movie with David Duchovny and Minnie Driver called Return to Me?
Trying to reel this in, yes.
Or his wife was a monkey trainer. And then she died.
Am I the only one who thinks something else every time you talk about being a monkey trainer?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Welcome out to the Rick Emerson Show from the Fuel Show. Saturdays 9 to 11 right here in this very fine radio station. Our good friend Dennis Pitzenbarger from PDXOutofPlay.com. Hello, sir.
Oh, good Lord. I've been here for like 3 minutes and I've made a couple notes. Two-headed Jesus, talking to pets, snow somewhere between 500 and 1,500 feet, jury duty, and no, you're not the only one in here that thinks monkey trainer is more than one place in the dictionary.
Dennis also, like during the break, like 5 seconds into the break, he's like, hey, can I get a copy of that letter to get out of jury duty?
The verbiage was beautiful. I'll have to be faxing that in. I believe mine is somewhere in the end of March, and that's the last thing I want to do is spend 18 months in a triple homicide.
And you get paid $5 a day to be on a regular jury. A grand jury is like $40. A regular jury, though, is like $5 a day or something.
Why aren't homeless people like lining up to do this?
Because they don't, I don't know. That's a good question. I guess you have to have a permanent residents, I guess. So here's the letter. To whom it may concern, Sarah Dillon is an employee of CBS Radio Portland. Her absence will be an impractical hardship for our department of business, and therefore, as her supervisor, I respectfully request that she be excused from her jury obligations. Cordially, Rick Emerson. Hold on. Here's the sound of me signing this. There we go. Done.
Awesome.
And done. There you go.
Wait. Where do I fax?
The chapter
ends. You fax that to... Yeah, seriously. But topic over. There you go. There's one of those pagers has the fax number for the jury coordinator.
Oh, I'll get that on the break for you, Sarah, so I can get out of it as well.
Franklin is on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
I'll get it.
Hi. I just have a comment about the why nobody cares about the apes talking.
Okay.
That's because everybody's seen the Planet of the Apes movies. And if everybody pays attention to the monkeys talking, then you know what's going to happen. They're going to take over.
Well, but that's why we should care.
That's true. Then we would be surrendering to our monkey captors.
I know, but nobody wants to pay attention because everybody's afraid to get them started.
So you're saying. I don't know what you're saying.
I think you're saying that we're afraid to acknowledge that the monkeys are going to take over the world.
Like, don't ignore them so nobody's...
I see. You don't want to... Okay. You don't want to give the monkey any... You don't want to encourage him.
Right.
Because then they plot against us, and then we're all working in underwater salt mines.
And then you see what happened, yeah.
Yeah. I'm bleeping that.
Why do you always say things like that? You say horrible things that you don't mean to be horrible.
But why? Like, you should be shot if you leave, if it's construed the way that...
Why do you say things like that? Do you not listen to the things that come out of your mouth?
I will not repeat it, but look at my face. It is genuine surprise that you had took it, had taken it that way.
Okay, this is like when you said that thing, which I will not repeat in this entirety.
I won't even bring it up.
This is like when you made that whip comment. Here's the thing. I don't think anybody here thinks that you mean it that way, but it's like you don't listen to the things that come out of your head sometimes.
Who does?
Well, not me. Let's take one more. David, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Oh, man, Rick, that was terrible.
That's what I'm saying.
Anyway,
No one else heard it.
I can imagine a whole new segment to the show now, the chimpanzee perspective.
We ought to have a chimpanzee, and then it can battle Scotty in some sort of a mathematics game.
Yeah.
Come on, that's genius.
See, there you
Scotty
go.
Abacus, ratings gold. You get Scotty versus the chimp, and they both have to assemble a small object.
I want to hear what Scotty has to say about finding the body of Jesus.
All right. Well, let's just find out, shall we?
Scotty J.
Thank you, sir. David.
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program our good friend and PA, Jay, who joins us now in the studio. Hi, Scotty. How are you?
Good afternoon, everybody.
Don't talk like that. How are you feeling today?
Feeling great.
You hungover?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Not.
You know what Scotty said to me earlier in the show during a break? Because you're like, you know, you're talking about those radio nightmares that everybody has. Do you ever have this nightmare where you have to do a whole 4-hour radio show, but you feel like vomiting all day? I swear to God, he asked me that.
Like the picture of sober.
Well, it's not related.
It was just a theoretical question.
Yes, it was.
All right. Okay, so Scotty, for today's Suburban Perspective, David wanted to know what you thought about them finding the body of Christ.
I have no idea if it's true or false.
Well, no one does.
Well, if they did find the body of Christ,
Cameron didn't do it. That's for sure. And it was apparently this coffin or whatever was found in the 80s. So why is it in the news today? I don't know.
Because I believe they were doing DNA testing on it. I don't know for sure, but I believe they were.
Now, what are they going to compare this DNA with to prove that it is Christ?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
Not that I believe in all that, but I don't know.
Now, do you think Jesus would have DNA?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He walked amongst us.
Well, he was a guy. He was a dude. So, all right. And so,
this is way not what I prepared for.
What did you prepare for, Scotty?
I don't know.
All right. Well, I'll just ask it. We've got this right here. This is, let's see. Where's this email?
So somebody sent in a question.
That was sort of an ad hoc question about the finding the body.
We're taking away from Dennis's time here.
Rick, I have a topic for Scotty J's Suburban Perspective. This is from Todd the Corpse. Global warming. Is it all liberal propaganda? What do the, quote, liberals have to gain by believing in global warming? Scotty?
Well.
And he wants to know what liberals have to gain by believing in global warming.
Well, if you talk to Dennis for 2 seconds, I'd like to bring in my
thesis on this. That's okay. I'll just take your thoughts on it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, you've been studying it, and we don't want to take away from your preparation.
The thing you have opinions on.
Okay. The reason why liberal people do this is because liberal people always have to have some form of crisis. You know, Democrats, liberals, some form of crisis or something happening in the world or a war that they want to cave into and surrender to terrorists on. Without all these problems and crises. There you go.
Help him.
I should just leave now. I mean, between the comments that can't be aired and me helping Scotty, I'm sorry.
People who sit in that chair always have this thing about throwing him a rope. You're not allowed to do that.
Okay. And the other thing is most radio people prepare their day. They have papers. They know what they're going to say.
Yeah, but
that's why I sound
things.
Like an idiot because
do you see us with papers that we have to talk
all day? I am set to say what I need to say, and then and then when we say it, I don't get to use my paper. So if it sounds retarded, it's because I, you know, I'm made to look that way.
You're 40. You should be able to speak on your own without looking at a paper.
I'm continuing.
All right.
Without crisis, then the Democrats' socialistic policies that they make or want to have,
like,
won't work.
Such as?
Such as, you know, unions, number one. Let's just rattle off a couple of things. And
so global warming is created so we can have unions.
No, global warming is another crisis, okay? With crisis, then when it's embedded into your body and your soul and your mind that there's the end of the world is coming soon unless, you know, you join the Democratic liberal bandwagon. Once you do, then they can ask for higher taxes, which they always do, and they can also say that, you know, this is the reason why you need us in power, because, you know, we will help take care of you.
Which party's doing that?
The Democrats.
Okay.
Now, hopefully you're not confused that Republicans are for big government, because they are not. Republicans are all about, you know, low taxes. You know, they're about, you know, he who succeeds himself will prosper.
Okay.
He who succeeds himself
at what, Scotty?
At whatever you're doing, you know, financially. We're all about capitalism, not socialism.
Okay.
So get back to global warming.
Uh-huh.
It's a big scare right now. There's absolutely no proof. And a lot of people go, well, what about the scientific evidence? Well, first of all, that's great that there's some scientific evidence there, but none of it is proven. And therefore, there are thousands of scientists out there who don't believe that this is true. Okay.
So how do you prove scientific evidence?
How do you prove scientific evidence?
Yes, how do you prove
it? Well, it's like Einstein with the E equals MC squared or whatever, right? Or the pi situation, right? Once he proved that, then it became the gospel. Right now, global warming is not the gospel. It can't be proven 100% that humans are causing it. It started back in the 1800s when they actually were recording evidence of the planet warming up. And here we are in 2007 today, and it's been gradually warming up ever since. Secondly, I want you to be aware that it is snowing in Beaverton right now. That is due to global warming.
Why?
I'm sorry. I'm still back on Einstein proving pi.
You see this?
Wait, why is it snowing if it's...
It's
getting warmer, why is it snowing?
Exactly. That's my sentiment.
I'm asking you, why is that a reason for global warming if it's snowing?
Exactly.
Okay, Scotty, stop saying exactly. Answer the question.
We don't understand what you're talking about.
It doesn't exist. Or it wouldn't be snowing in Beaverton on February 27th. Right?
Okay.
What's today, the 27th?
I don't know.
I don't either.
And so it hasn't been proven like what other things have been?
You know, Einstein proved scientific facts, okay?
Okay.
And now, that is truth.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
People didn't believe him until he proved that that was correct.
What's correct about?
I don't know enough
pi.
About math, nor I don't...
What is pi?
I don't even want to go into that. I don't know. I learned it once, but I don't remember it because I hate math so much I don't even hold on to that stuff.
But Einstein proved that pi was true.
Yep. Pi was true. That's funny.
We'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. God Almighty. Let's see. Well, I get all this crap, but I'm not going to get any of it. No, let me read this real quickly. We're after the lunch hour here.
We are.
I'm out embalming.
Did we ever get to the elevator and head story?
No, we didn't. I can do that or I can do the embalming story. What would you rather hear? The embalming email about Anna Nicole Smith.
I guess the embalming.
I know you've asked how Anna Nicole's doing. The answer is probably fine. When embalming an autopsied body, you usually get better results than when embalming a straight case. You can get directly to the carotid arteries on either side of the head, the arms, and legs. You just soak, in case you want to know how to do this, you just soak all the organs and the brain in a bag with cavity fluid. Cavity fluid is a stronger embalming fluid that we use on the trunk and organs versus the regular kind. Embalming does not preserve a body. It only slows down the decomposition process. So no matter if you embalm the person immediately after they die, the sooner you do it, the better, usually. If she's huge, she'll probably have so much makeup on, she'd look pretty good, even if there was discolorization that could not be removed during the embalming. There's a quick overview. If you have any other questions, let me know. Take care. Brent from the Money River Nightmare Band. There you go. So, apparently she's going to look fine. We'll get one call here, and then we'll talk to Dennis Pitzenberger about this weekend show. Marty, what's up?
Hey.
Marty.
How you doing, Rick?
What's up, Marty?
Tim.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Marty at the end of the street with the big trees, and they're waving all around. I survived the last time.
Okay.
Anyway, I got an idea for your sounder.
No idea.
Anytime you have a clown story,
okay,
you can take maybe the circus music and your honky horn and then morph that with the gunfire after the old Chris the Mailman.
We were talking about doing something like that, like with the send in the clown's bed yesterday and then a machine gun. I got to find a better sounding machine gun, though, and then maybe Yeah.
The one on Chris the Mailman is great.
You're right, and I can't use that anymore anyway because his boss was not a fan of the gun
sound. Plus, it has the great screaming.
Yeah, no, it's true. I'll think about it. There do seem to be a lot of violent clown stories lately, so we'll look into that perhaps.
That would be great.
All right. Thank you, Marty.
Anyway, I'm going to survive. They won't come down on me.
Yeah, I don't really know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Marty, what are you talking about? Where?
What tree where?
Well, I live at the end of the street. Surrounded by 100-foot pine trees, and they're all waving in the wind.
Is it blowing outside?
It's a little bit.
It's blowing pretty good down here.
Yeah, because we're in a basement. We don't have any windows.
Yeah, we don't have access to light or nature in any way. We'll try not to die.
I will.
All right, thank you.
And if I don't, I'll call back.
All right, God bless you, sir. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
All right, Marty. Marty, he's going to try not to die. Hi, Dennis.
Rick?
Hey, so Scotty got beaten like a girl at the poker game this weekend.
Yeah, he was bragging. He was looking pretty good. Now, I got knocked out early,
as usual. Yeah, but your wife probably stayed.
I didn't see you there.
No, I didn't know.
We don't have to go through that. The only thing I can count on is from 11 to 3, turning on the radio. I know I'll hear you.
Yeah.
I saw Scotty be a little bit cocky, going towards the final cut down as I was trying to set up the cash game because I went out in a ball of fire.
Now, did he make it to the final table?
No. My wife did, though.
There's a balance there.
There is. One Pitzenberger at the final table. One at the cash game giving... I was actually robbing change out of my daughter's piggy bank to stay in the cash game, so...
Oh, my God.
You're all class.
Well, she doesn't know I'm taking it yet. She's young. But, you know, it was a fun time. It was we had a bunch of people there. There was several people from the CBS family. Several from the bunker actually showed up. The concrete bunker that this fine radio program once...
I don't know what that is.
The bunker.
I don't know. I don't know what that is.
You used to call it the bunker, the former lushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Max 910.
Oh, Intercom.
Yeah. Okay. So it was kind of nice to see everybody there, old and new friends. Several of the people here at the CBS radio family did well.
But Scotty wasn't one of them.
Scotty didn't do so good.
I'm talking all day. I'm trying to as though I would have done any better.
No, he actually.
I went out first.
He got slow played by Jeff Klein.
Really?
He got spanked up by Jeff Klein. He went in on top pair, and Jeff flopped a set, and he walked him down the primrose path right into the poorhouse. And then Scotty came over to the cash table and then was upset because Mike from here in this office decided to get all the money from that cash game, got his winnings from the initial buy-in back, and then said, all right, I'm going home.
Now, the last time I played at Jeff White's house, I just got creamed. I mean, the time I played, it took me longer to drive there than I was actually playing. It took me like 40 minutes to drive there, and I was out in like 12 minutes.
Yeah, well, we know the lesson from that. Yeah. Don't slow play here.
The lesson is just to send someone better in my place. That's the lesson.
But so. it was a fun game. We're going to try to do one here in a few weeks. But cool. It was always good to see everybody there.
What's coming up on the Fuel Show?
Well, we're actually going to have a gentleman named Terry. He is the announcer for Supercross. So we're going to get a hiccup from Supercross Arena Motorcycle Racing. We'll have him in to talk. Hopefully, maybe even a glimpse from Ricky Carmichael. I don't know if you know who that is, but he's a longtime multi-champion in motocross racing. And, of course, we'll be doing Behind the Wheels. I'm actually, for those of you that are in this audience that are big Subaru fans, Subaru's never really been known for performance, but besides the little WRX, I don't know if that rings a bell with you, Rick.
I think I drove one of those, actually.
Yeah, it's like a little rally car, but now they have a Subaru Legacy Spec B, which is like their car that goes up against like an Audi A4 or an upscale luxury performance sedan. I'm going to talk about that because I'm going to be driving that this week, and of course Ian will be joining us. And NASCAR coverage is up and running. We're planning a couple more NASCAR parties for the show audience, and of course anyone that chimes in or just forgets that their radio's on 970 when they turn it on Saturday morning.
An invalid who's somebody not quite able to reach the radio with their teeth.
Well, I usually do that. I usually, you know, and all the clients that I go around to on a weekly basis, I usually run around and either do one of two things. I go to all the cars that are on the showroom floor and turn the radio on to AM 970, and then I go to all their computers and tune it in or log it on as a favorites to pdxautoclick.com. I call that my guerrilla marketing strategy.
Fantastic. So there's the Fuel Show 9 to 11 on Saturday, and then, of course, followed up later in the day by the Timnasium.
Timnasium. Did you happen to hear the story? One of the best Timnasium efforts ever was Sarah Wagner telling the story about...
Was her running into her boyfriend at the bar, her ex?
No.
That was a fantastic story.
It was the ghetto rapper guy that was... She went to the Jamie Foxx... I don't know if you heard the story, but she went to the Jamie Foxx concert,
Jamie Foxx here in concert?
Yeah, he was
singing
in concert.
What?
I don't know. It was like a comedy thing, and he's singing. Anyway, I guess this like ghetto gangster, like with the big white fluffy coat, sits next to her, puts the coat down, and then starts like singing like the love songs that Jamie Foxx is singing to her.
To her?
Oh, I know. I grabbed
my wife. Baby, you're so fine.
Oh, it was. Tim Savage about the uterus hat. That's all you got to do is say that. One of the best shows ever. I love going home, getting a nap, doing some chores, and tuning into that.
Girl, I want to get with you in an Arco restroom.
Oh, totally. Right, and where? Yeah, but Tim was making up all these songs about, I want to wear your uterus hat. It was just absolutely, I swear.
Good Lord.
It was absolutely hilarious. But I guess this guy was like, she wasn't paying enough attention to the ghetto rapper that was next to her in the aisle, instead of, obviously, for the ticket that she paid for. And apparently, this guy was like, F. Jamie Foxx, I'm right here in front of you, man.
I'm singing about two of you, baby.
Yeah.
She was telling a great story, actually, Sarah Wagner, the Tim Macy, about that. She went to her local bar, and her ex-boyfriend, who I guess lives nowhere near there, has now chosen that place to drink at.
Oh, of course.
So she's like, broken up, trying to get over it, walks into the bar to, and there he is. Walks in, just trying to have some whiskey, and he's driven like 16 miles to drink at her local bar all the time.
Oh, man.
He's all class, apparently. Mailman Chris, we're short on time. Where are we at, my brother?
You didn't get top five, didn't get fetish, didn't get the Ways of No Bad movie. Yo, three more. That's what you'd think.
I'm no good. I'm worthless. All right. Thank you, my friend.
Talk to you, Mom.
There you go. There's Mailman Chris sounding strangely out of breath. All right. 503-733-2970. Make a note. We're back tomorrow. Dennis Pitts and Marguerite. We're going to thank him. Also, Lisa Goddard, CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop, and from New York, Steve Kastenbaum. Rick Emerson, show producer, and everybody talented and polka dotted Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the news from Tim Riley, our PA, Scotty J. The Gatekeepers, Dave Zinn. Like us next. Don't let the Masters credit down. Thank you for listening. Bye.